Let's pray. Father, your word tells us in Isaiah 9 that for unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establish and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on forever. For unto us a child was born. Father, this morning we come to this place of worship knowing that what has happened already 2,000 plus years ago, a child was born, not an ordinary child, the child of promise, the child that would be called Emmanuel, a child that was given to a virgin and one that would change the world, change the destiny of eternal life for all people if they would walk with him and choose him as their Lord and Savior. God, we remember that this morning. We remember that every day that your son Jesus was born in this way, in a place that is far off, but one that we know took place, one that happened, and one that changed us because of his birth and because of his life, his death, and his resurrection. God, we don't take those things lightly. We don't take those things and just chalk them up to happenstance, but we take them and we remember and we cherish them. As Luke tells us that Mary heard all these things and she cherished them and treasured them up in her heart. God, we do very much the same today as we remember the birth of your son. And we look forward to celebrating it in a couple of days on Christmas Eve, and remembering even more so the night that Christ entered into the world. But for right now, Lord, will you show us a little bit more about who your son Jesus is? Will you remind us ever so gently the impact and the world-changing power that he brought? And personal transformational power in our own lives, that he meets us where we are and takes us to the place that he wants us to be, that you want us to be, changing us from the inside out to look more and more like your son Jesus. Oh God, will you do that again in us, even today? Will you draw us closer to you and help us to not be the same people that we were when we came in, but to be one step closer in exhibiting the truth and the nature of your son, Jesus. God, each of us needs a work on our heart. Each of us needs a work on our life. And we pray, Father, that you would do that in us today. Lord, I know that today we come from different places. We come from different thoughts and different ideas, different things that are going on in our lives. And Father, in many cases, we need a touch of healing, and we need a work on our life, a work on our soul. And so, God, we just come before you and we ask that your name, your work be done in us this day. Lord, for those that are feeling, maybe they're feeling a little bit down today, we know that the Christmas season is not always an uplifting time in people's lives. And so, God, we just offer them to you and ask, Lord, that you would work in their lives and remind them that you love them. You are one, the one who knows them. And Father, you are a loving God that is wrapping them up in their arms even now. And so, God, will you bring emotional healing to those that are hurting today? Lord, there are others among us that may or may not be here today, but they are experiencing the difficulty of life. And when it comes to their physical bodies, their emotional bodies, and we ask, God, that your healing would be upon them. Lord, I specifically pray for my father-in-law today and ask, Father, that you would be with him as he prepares for surgery tomorrow. Lord, you know the things that are going on in his life, and Lord, you know what his surgery is all entails. You are the author of life and the great physician. And we pray for healing. We pray for a successful surgery. And we pray for your quick recovery. Lord, others are preparing for surgeries. Others are recovering from previous surgeries. And some are just not feeling well today. And so, God, will you bring healing where it's necessary? God, you are a Lord of great joy, a Lord of great love, and we are so grateful that we get to come before you in worship today in seeking your name above all names, and your truth above all truths. And we thank you, Father, for all that you do in our lives, for you are worthy. You are the only one who is worthy of all praise, and we give it to you, Lord. We love you, and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, good morning, everybody. Good morning. Good to see you all here this morning. What a joy it is to be together on this Christmas Sunday, Christmas before Sunday. How fantastic is that? If you're not excited about just Christmas, then I don't know what the problem is. Because I get excited about it. You know, it's a joy to just be in the, and not just in the house of the Lord, but to be together as a church body, and just being, knowing that that God is good in the midst of all things and in the midst of everything that we have going on. He is good. Amen. Amen. Just a couple of things I want to remind you about. First of all, you are at Living Hope Wesleyan, and we're glad that you're here. We also have a QR code that we would love for you to utilize at any point in time to let us know that you're here. But also, if there are things that you would like to be prayed over, we would certainly love to be praying for you in that way. So utilize it at any point in time. Also, just a reminder that just behind the Christmas tree in the sanctuary, or outside of the sanctuary, is our offering box. If you like to give with a cash or check, or if you can always utilize the online giving options, those are always available for you as well. We've got a couple of things that we just want to remind you about and prepare you for. First of all, Christmas Eve is coming up very quickly, and that is happening the 24th at 5 p.m., and we're going to be having communion and candlelight, and so we would love it if you would be here for that. Arrive early so that you can spend some time with folks, and then also then you can like check out when you're all done, so you can go and hang out with family and do the family thing. We're also going to be offering this year for the first time a little Christmas photo booth. So if you want to take family pictures, we're going to be at least that's available for you. You use your own cell phone. We're not bringing in someone to take pictures for you. But a little decorated spot that you'll be able to take some family pictures and things like that. And so that's just a fun thing that we're doing for Christmas Eve this year. The other thing is next Sunday, which is the 28th, 1 week from today, we are doing a Christmas brunch and devotional. And so the brunch begins at 10 a.m., and that will be our primary event for the day. It will be brunch. And then when we're about ready to go home, I'm going to do a little brief devotional, and then that's it for the day. It's going to be an abbreviated day, and that is just the way that we're going to do it. We're going to give our worship team a Sunday off. We're going to give our tech crew a Sunday off. We're not going to give our coffee crew a Sunday off, so sorry about those. Bummer. But if we're going to do brunch, we might as well have some coffee and hot chocolate and tea if you want some tea. So that's happening next Sunday. So please be aware of that. And if you have any questions, I don't know what to tell you because those were pretty self-explanatory, I think. But if you do have any, I can certainly provide you with some answers. Let's see. The other thing is that we're going to have our children go for children's church today. So that's happening right now. Kids, you are dismissed to meet your leader and to go over for children's church today. And if their excitement is not your excitement, I don't know what's wrong with us. I love it when they just take off. Well, I'm fighting a little bit of a cold today. Just a little bit of one. Isn't that the case with this time of year? I'm not the only one. There's probably a lot of us that are dealing with just, I think it was the change in barometer from like 40 some degrees to like 12 in 2 hours. That's what it felt like to me. That was Thursday night. Oh my goodness. I don't know. It just got to me. Anyways, you can open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 2 today if you have them. If you don't, that's totally fine. We have the words will be up on the screen when we get to those passages, but you always are welcome to bring your Bibles. In fact, I encourage you to bring your Bibles because there's something good about reading God's word together. But then there's also if you have the 10-pound Bible, those don't always work to be lugging them into church. I'm just kidding. I know you have the 20-pound Bible. I know that was not a good joke either. Anyways, at this time of year, there are a lot of things that we are looking for. I remember growing up in Colorado, one of the things that my brothers and I were tasked with when my older brothers got their license, we were tasked with going to find the right Christmas tree. We were that family that went and purchased a Christmas tree, let it die even more so that the needles went everywhere throughout the house. We weren't always very good about keeping it alive for the couple of weeks that we had it. And we definitely were not those folks that kept it beyond its usage because mom didn't like the needles going everywhere. So we had it for maybe a week, maybe two, but we were tasked with going and finding one. And my brothers and I had three different things that we were looking for. I was looking for a tree that was the perfect shape. One brother was probably looking for one that was the perfect height. The other one was looking for the perfect thing. We were looking for things that were perfect. And more times than not, we came home with the Charlie Brown Christmas tree because we went too late. It was usually Christmas Eve, and that's usually the worst time of year to go buy a Christmas tree. Anyways, you're looking for the perfect tree. You're looking for the perfect gift. You're looking for the right outfit at that time of year. We talked about how when we were working on the giving tree, where we're looking for the right gifts, looking for the opportunity that we could have as a family to do certain things. The truth be told, you and I are always looking for certain things. We're looking for certain stuff. We're looking for reasons to believe. We're looking for the truth. What is the truth? We're looking for the answers to the questions that we may or may not have yet. We're sometimes looking for people to accept us for who we are, quirks and all. And sometimes we're also looking for the words of hope that everything will be okay. And sometimes that's exactly what we need, is a word saying, it's going to be all right. Everything's going to be okay. Or for some people, we're looking for the power or the strength or the fortitude to do what we need to do. We're looking for something, and I wonder what you're looking for. This particular question can be applied to everyone that is represented in the Christmas story. And a couple of weeks ago, we looked at the Magi and what they were looking for. And part of what they were looking for in the Nativity story is that they were looking for answers. They had heard so much about what was to happen. And when they figured out that it was happening, they needed to answer some questions. Mary and Joseph, this question of what are you looking for applies to them. It applies to Elizabeth and Zechariah. It applies to King Herod and even the shepherds. And today we're going to talk about those folks, the shepherds. So let's look at this passage in Luke chapter 2, basically verses 2 through 20. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, to the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. That is a truly is a wonderful passage of scripture. As we look at this passage, we see a variety of things. We see a variety of characters that are listed and mentioned and represented. We have Caesar, a governor, and a ancient king. And then right in the middle of all of this, right in the middle, the least likely people are mentioned, a group of shepherds out in the fields, minding their own business, doing what they're supposed to be doing. They're supposed to be tending sheep, and they're doing exactly that. Maybe catching some sleep, maybe getting some food, but whatever else they are doing, it is these shepherds that are doing exactly what they're supposed to be doing. And when we consider the list of all the possible people to be included, the shepherds would probably be the least likely ones to be connected to this story. Shepherds seem to be a bit off. especially when you consider that there's a Roman king, a governor, and the mention of an ancient king. Shepherds just seems to be a bit off, doesn't it? So what do we know about these people of the field? Being a shepherd resulted in being looked at in a certain way. First, their job was considered low status work. It wasn't all it was cracked up to be. In fact, being a shepherd was usually reserved for the youngest of the children. And being a shepherd meant that you were a shepherd. You once a shepherd, always a shepherd. You didn't have any room to grow up into another position. You became a shepherd. You lived your middle years as a shepherd. You lived your older years as a shepherd. Are you getting the picture? You were a shepherd, and therefore you will be a shepherd, and therefore you will always be a shepherd. It was a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week, 365-day-a-year, 12 months of the year type of job. If you were a shepherd, that is who you were and what you did and what you always did, and there were no real days off. Where the sheep were, that's where you were. They were in the field, you were in the field. They were in the pens, you were in the pens. When they were in their enclosures, you were in the enclosure. You were sometimes the gate that protected them. You were constantly caring for and tending for the sheep and finding them when they wandered off, going from one place to the next, making this one eat, making that one do their thing, cleaning out their eyes because of bugs. And you just did everything you could to take care of these sheep. And let alone, you were not respected by anybody. A shepherd was not considered to be a reliable witness. If there was a dispute that took place that needed some type of lawyering, guess who didn't get invited to be a part of the story that was going on? The shepherds. They were not considered to be a reliable witness, meaning that if they witnessed someone or something like a fight or let's go to the furthest degree, like a murder or theft or something like that, it wasn't the shepherds that were brought in to be a witness to it because they were unreliable. And so you would find anybody to help witness something besides a shepherd. They were looked down upon, they were degraded and considered to be less than other people, especially other professions. So can you imagine that shepherds felt inadequate in many ways? Yeah. If that's how society looked at them, if that's how society saw people who watched sheep, you could imagine that they felt inadequate for a majority of their lives. They never felt as if they were making a difference, never felt as if their occupation really mattered, never felt that as if what they were doing really mattered in the grand scheme of things. They felt left out, and there's other things that they felt as well. They felt that, and one of the things that really impacted them is that they were uneducated. Their education was very limited because when they became at the right age to be able to go into the field and to actually begin shepherding, they already had a very small or limited education, and so they were educational outcasts. Socially, they were seen as thieves. If things came up missing and there were shepherds nearby, it was probably the shepherds that did it. The shepherds were not influential people. But an area that really strikes me as unique when it comes to shepherds is that they felt inadequate when it came to their spiritual lives. Let's talk about that for just a second. You see, because shepherds worked 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, 12 months out of the year, you name it, they're doing all of that. It impacted their ability to go and worship. And because of the job that they were doing, being around animals all the time, dealing with all the things that animals do when animals do it, meaning blood, dead things, the birth of lambs, and just dealing with the unlimited amount of stuff that happens with animals, they were considered to be unclean when it came to worship. So they were unable to go and worship like you and I would have back then. It was a vicious cycle of wanting but not being able to, not being able to take the time to actually be clean so that they could go and worship. Because if they did, they would lose their livelihood. If they did, they wouldn't be able to do the job that they were supposed to be doing. And so they were religious outcasts. When everyone else was celebrating Passover or the festivals of booths or you name it, or Yom Kippur and all of those, they were out in the fields. They weren't celebrating. They weren't remembering what God had done. They weren't doing all the things that the other people in Israel were doing. They were socially, religiously outcast and invisible. So can you imagine how a shepherd felt at that time period? Does God even know I exist? Does God even realize that I am around? Does God even see me? Does he know the difficulties that I have? Does anybody, and I know nobody else cares about me, but does God care about me? What do you think the shepherds are looking for? One word really kind of comes to mind when I think about this, and it encompasses all the various areas that we talked about socially, spiritually, and the like, is that they were looking to be accepted by society, accepted by their God, accepted by their religion and its leaders. That's what the shepherds were looking for in an aspect that I see, is that they were looking to be accepted. They were looking for ways in which they might be known by God, known by their society, known by their religion and their leaders. Verse 8 says, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.'" Can you imagine that for just a moment? That in the dead of night, and I'm talking about the dead of night. Have you ever been outside the city with no city lights, just out in the middle of nowhere where you have no glow from anywhere and how dark it really is? Oh my goodness. It's almost that sense of feeling alone and nothing going on around. That is just an overwhelming sense. And can you imagine these shepherds are out in the field? Maybe they have a fire that's nearby. But in the dead of night, an angel appears. And the glory of God lights up the sky. The glory of God. Now, our Bibles talk about how it's a company of angels, and that's a military term. That's like over 100,000 angels, possibly, that are filling the sky. Can you imagine? You're out in the field, and you see this glory of angels singing praises to God. To the nobodies, to the outcasts, to the rejected shepherds, the least likely of all people, the ones that everyone else forgot about, the ones that felt as if they were forgotten by everyone, including God. It's these shepherds that God sends the announcement of the Messiah to, the nobodies, the outcasts, the rejected. It's to these shepherds that God sends his messengers to announce that Jesus the Messiah was born in the town of Bethlehem. God didn't send his messengers to the powerful. God didn't send his messengers to the rulers, the leaders, the influential, the religious powers and authorities. No. Instead, it's to the least likely, the lowly, the least. In that society, that was the shepherds. Who would that be in our society? In most cases, might be me, might be you. But it was to the shepherds, the least likely, the lowly. The shepherds weren't the ones that were really connected. They weren't the ones they were the ones that felt rejected and ignored. And in some ways, you and I can feel that exact same way. We can feel overlooked. We can feel rejected. We can feel ignored. We can feel that we are the least likely that God would want to show up to. We can feel as if the people that were supposed to love us don't. And the truth is that the message that God had for the shepherds is a message for us too. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born. The message is for everyone. The message that God has, that the Messiah is born, is for each of us. The message is just as important then as it is now. And it's for everyone. The shepherds, they dropped everything. As soon as the angels left, their response was, let's go. Let's go and see what God has told us about. Let's go and see this thing that God has shared. Let's go, let's go, let's go. Can you imagine their anticipation? Can you sense their heart desire in this, that once they heard the message, they couldn't help but go? What's your response? What's your response when you hear these words of, let's go? The shepherds, they left their flocks to find the one that the angels spoke about. They left the ordinary sheep to find the perfect Lamb of God. They left their sheep in the field to go to Bethlehem, that was known as the house of bread, to find the one true bread of life. They left the field of darkness to find the light of the world, and they left the sheep to go find the good shepherd. What about you? Will you leave the ordinary? Will you leave the darkness that has surrounded you? Will you leave the other things to go and find the one, the Messiah, the true shepherd, the true Lamb of God? Let's pray. Father, we hear words such as these from your scripture and are reminded so much so that your love for us is powerful, that your love for us is beyond our typical understanding. But we know, God, that you are good. We know that your word is powerful and your word is true. And when we look at the shepherds, Lord, we see ordinary people just like us. We see their love for the work that they do. Maybe we see the discomfort that overwhelms them. But may we see that in the moment when they heard that the announcement that changed everything for them, Lord, they got up and they went. And the truth of the matter is, Lord, is many times that's not us. Many times the response that we don't have is to go. When you have made known to us the truth of what's going on, we have many times held back and not responded in like. And Father, I pray today that you would overwhelm us with your power and your authority, with your grace and your truth, that if we need to respond in some way today, Lord, will you help us to do so? Overwhelm our hearts and remind us that we can respond in such a way where we desire and we want to move. And we want to do what you are calling us to do. Lord, if there's someone that needs to accept you as Lord and Savior, Lord, today, will that be the day? Will today be the day that they do that, where they say, Lord, I admit and I accept that I need a Savior. And I believe that your Son Jesus came, lived and died for me. And I confess him as my Lord and Savior. God, will you encourage someone in that way today? If it's others, Lord, where they need to make a commitment to trust and walk with you for the very first time, Lord, may it be so. If others need to confess that they have fallen away and have gone away from their habits of following you and they want to get back to it, Lord, may today be the day that they make that commitment as well, where they would say that no longer am I going to walk in these ways, but I'm going to follow Jesus and I'm going to repent and follow him with all my life. God, will you do that today as well? Lord, we desire to trust you. We desire to walk in your ways. Give us the strength that we need today. Lord, thank you so much for all that you do. Thank you for sending your Son Jesus and to use shepherds, the least likely of all, to share the message, to go tell it on the mountain. God, you are so good. We love you, we thank you, and we worship you. And we pray all this in the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. 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 Well, thanks so much for worshiping along with us today. I want to remind you that Christmas Eve starts at 5 o'clock. Can't wait for you to be there and to join us and worship along with us at this special Christmas time. And then don't forget, next Sunday at 10 a.m., our brunch will begin, followed by a short devotional. Let's finish our time together and close our time together with worship. Please stand and let's sing together.